Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Busala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I interview Bei Zhang.
Yay.
How long is Bei? Can you introduce Bei? She's been with us for how many years?
I know. How long has it been, Bei?
Oh, gee. I think of 2016, I joined Land Academy. That's like 4 years, right?
That's awesome. Yeah. did it fly by for you? These last few years flew by for us.
Just like yesterday.
Yep. minus the COVID lockdown period.
Yeah.
Yesterday, and then the last 4 months was like 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you would give us some and our listeners a quick little background as to your life before full-time investing, please.
Sure. Yeah, so I've been working for corporate for years before joining Land Academy. Most of my responsibility is about corporate communication, marketing communication, public relationship, these kind of thing. So I think my last job is just working for a pharmaceutical company as a global brand manager, managed one of the drugs. So that's my past experience. And then I always want to, you know, looking for opportunities to build my own platform and try different platform. And then finally, I find out the land business, that kind of thing. Then I really dig in. Some people thinking that's like, you know, it's not trustworthy, because that time, not a lot of people really buy in this business model. But I get very excited. And then so I start working my deals. I'm pretty fast. And then I think 8 months, I working part-time, handle my corporate job, and then handling the land business. And then after 8 months, I just I quit my full-time job. I start, you know, like full-time land investing business. Yeah.
It's been years now, and do you miss anything?
I just feel like I should do that early. I wish I know you guys earlier, you know, because I feel like, you know, each of the effort I put here today is going to be build my own platform. I'm not working my time for building other people's platform. Yeah.
Got it.
You know, I have to say, we interview a lot of members, and it really, the feedback that I get from new members about us interviewing existing members goes like this. Well, if he can do it, then I'm pretty sure I can do it, because I've got this background. So I think it makes sense for me. Bei just throws a wrench in all that, because no one's as pretty as you are.
Oh, yeah.
No one's as smart as you are. Like, no, you're deterring people from joining.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think we, everyone, but thank you. But the thing is, I feel like we are different. I admit, I have my strong suit. Other people have their strong suits, and you have your strong suit. I think the key thing we're in common is the value. We want to create our own platform. Definitely, once you serious about this, program, follow what just Land Academy's processes and that kind of thing, you will get something. It just sooner or later, you manage your pace. You give your permission how fast you get there, right?
True. I agree. Tell us, give us an idea of your average first deal when you're starting out, and then what you're doing now. I like people to hear what you're working on.
Yeah, my first deal is pretty interesting. I don't really know every piece. I just want to do it. So I take imperfect action. So I have, so funny is I haven't purchased that piece of property. I'm like, let me test. I put it on Craigslist in that time, and just right away there has people wants to buy that piece of property. And my husband, he look about that, that area. He said, that's the least area I would imagine myself would be there. And then so I'm like, wow, what should I do? Get so nervous. And then the buyer said, oh, I have this title company, you know, they can help us to close. So I talked to the title company, and then they just say, oh, go finish your first half deal first, and we'll buy, and then here's the contract. So I just finished my first half and then closed via title company. And then I just get, I think that first deal, the profit is like $5,000. And then I was like, amazing. I'm like, what did I do? I didn't really add a lot of value. Why I deserve $5,000? That's, I keep asking myself the question myself. Seriously, that's a first deal. And then right now I don't feel like that way. I feel like I did put a lot of effort there. I deserve, you know, these value. And then I think right now I didn't really do much more different. It just because I keep doing this for 4 years. So I kind of know, you know, like using Steve's words, acquisition confidence. That is just make me feel like whenever I know the market, you know, repeatedly, I know that market. And then when I see it, I just like, okay, I'll buy it. I always get a control of the property first. I mark it. And then because I know.
Other than deal experience, how did you develop that acquisition confidence?
Because that's about the market feedback. So you're gonna, you know, without sending the mailer, without doing some of the talks with the seller or the market, you don't know. Even though we can learn from the Zillow or realtor.com, but once when you're facing a real deal, I think that's probably a lot of people, they don't want to pull that trigger because they don't know what if I end up with this this lot and that kind of thing. But once you know the market very well, you know at least I'm gonna sell this. I know the exit. How do you say? You know how much I'm gonna out of the deal. What's the worst scenario for that? You just buy it. So I think that's just the came from the, you know, repeatedly you doing something in the same market again, 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 and you get your database for the buyers and you know those county zoning. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And that's what you have.
That's great. Thank you.
But Jill has acquisition confidence like nobody I've ever dealt with, no partner I've ever had.
Thanks.
She has it because not so much because she knows she's making the right decision based on data. She doesn't care what happens afterwards. She's going to solve it.
True.
That's where her confidence comes from. Like, whatever problems happen, I can talk my way out of it.
We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. So your first deal, so you were averaging $5,000. Is it like buy for five, sell for 10, that kind of a thing? Or is it even lower?
I think I brought it for $2,000. And then I sold it for $7,000.
Fast forward me to today. Mm-hmm. Like what's your average deal right now?
I think the average deal, I have a variety of the deal. Basically, I think what I'm thinking is I think everyone has their goals. When I listen to other people's goal in our group, I think some people are quite you know, like ambitious, 1 million, 2 million, multi-million a year. But for me, my philosophy is to earn money happily every day. Because if this is going to be my career, I have a good mentality body. So I don't really push myself too much about the dollar goal, that kind of thing. So I kind of feel like there has a couple area I want to build my passive income stream. I know it's not totally passive, but kind of like a term deal. And they're probably the size will be smaller. But also I do have a cash deal, maybe one third of my portfolio is cash deal. So it varies. I think a lot of times it's probably the profit is like 6,000, 7,000, something like that.
Okay.
In that range. And once in a while I can get a home run.
Like buy for six and sell for 40 kind of thing.
Yeah. I think sometimes actually lately I just did a deal. It's just like unicorn deal. You know, I brought it for somewhere a little bit over 20. When I brought it, I don't even know there has utility already there on site. I have no idea. But actually after I brought it, I find out they have a well, they have septic tank, and they have like all everything installed, and they have a fence, and they have everything. They have a like a left on site like trailer or something in good shape. So, but I just want to get a quick flip. So I flipped somewhere like 100,000. So it's like 80,000. So that's one of my home run. I just want to share.
That's wonderful.
Nothing surprises me anymore. Does anything surprise you?
No, it's like, that's the best thing. It's like finding money in your pocket. Like, where'd this come from? Yeah.
But again, that comes from the acquisition confidence. So you know that area. You kind of know. You know, you kind of, once you identify it as a deal, you're going to move really, really fast. And then I do have a lot of relationship with the title company. So they just helped me close very good, smoothly, and they prioritized my deals. So I would say if you have a good relationship, you build a team, that's really helpful.
Do you focus in one without disclosing where you're working?
No, I think it's just in the same state. Just over. I was trying to go to other state. I think sometimes you can try, but you have to really think about your personality and that click. Sometimes, you know, I know my friends in the circle, they click with a certain area. I tried, but I failed. It just, you have to be, listen to the feedback of the market and then to thinking, is that fit in your personality with that area? And do you like that area? You know, that kind of feeling, almost like there has some law of attraction. So you have to get feedback from the market.
Yes, we're familiar with that. There's areas that in the part of the country that we talk about that, like you used to visit as a kid, you're like, maybe it doesn't have a good memory.
We don't talk about that enough. Like, yeah. I really think if you're,
it's true.
I just loved it. I love land, you know,
and you love West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
Yeah.
For me, it's subconscious. Like I choose areas that I would like to go have a campfire in or some crazy, whatever subconscious thing that is.
That's true. That's funny. Exactly. I think subconsciously we do it more than we realize.
We're buying and selling a bunch out, or we're preparing to buy a lot of houses because of what's happening right now. And I'm for the first time picking areas where I would live.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Nice. Yeah. Sometimes when people are sending me the local photo, like, this is a lot you're selling. I'm like, I wish I can keep, like today he went to visit and then he showed me a bunch of videos and that kind of thing. I'm like, wow, that's beautiful. I want to keep for myself. And he said, no, sorry, I'll keep it. And he brought it this afternoon.
Changed my mind.
It is. There has a creek. It's just like so beautiful. I'm like, I need to keep some for myself, maybe.
It's true.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We've had that discussion a lot. That's like, especially him. I'm like, don't go look at it. You're not allowed to look at it because then we won't sell it.
I usually win that battle. And then 2 years later, we sell it just because we've never used it.
That we didn't go.
Your emotional connection is not connected anymore.
So you started doing some houses too.
Yes, I think I joined House Academy like last year, July, something like, I never really take actions. It's just so busy in a lot of deals and that kind of thing. And then, so I really did start force myself to take actions, imperfect actions. Early January, I start really take a lot of notes and learn that business. So I also I end up with purchased two houses and flipped two houses. In Q1 or Q2, because the coronavirus comes. So that's why it's almost like a game changer, because house is more capital intensive, right? Yeah. And then there need a lot of, I would say need some babysit, especially the boots on the ground. Like I am my own boots on the ground because I'm buying houses near my own area. And I kind of feel like not very safe to do that. You had to buy title insurance, hire a lot of people in that transaction. So I did earn some money, but I feel like that just made me realize land business is so sweet. It's very simple. And then fit for me, I would say. Maybe someone who's handy, maybe houses are better, but for me, I don't want to even see it. So I just want to working everything on the desk. And then that's all what I like. Yeah.
Isn't that funny? It's like, I feel the same way. I'm torn. The data and the days of market, the price per square foot is so great. It makes those deals, I mean, when you really look at them, it's not rocket science. You know, we know how it's going to go. But yet there are other things that are involved that I'm with you. I'm like, I don't really want to do that. I got to turn on the utilities and I got to turn off the utilities. That even if I only have it for a couple of days, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm getting insurance. So,
well, it's the HUD one statement at the end on a house that just gives me heartburn.
Right.
You know, we're at the house range that we're looking at is $1.2 million, which is, believe it or not, the really low, that's a low point for the market that we're in. Mm-hmm. So if you start multiplying 1% of $1.2 million, it's a lot of money. You know, mm-hmm. there's $100,000 worth of fees in $1.2 million.
Right.
So you have to mark it up more than, you have to mark it up a couple $100,000 to make it worthwhile. That's hard to get away with. In fact, it's borderline. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. I'm marking it up too much. So it's the HUD one numbers at the end that frustrate the hell out of me on a house deal.
One of the beautiful things is I love having my hand in all kinds of different things. So I want to always stay current, keep doing stuff like that. Maybe I'm going to go to a different area, you know, after a while, but you're right. There's a lot more to think about with houses, but it sounds it's, you don't know till you get into it. And I know that there's people in our community that have said, you know, ditching the land, they love the houses and maybe they have construction background. I know
that's what they just said. Yeah.
Cause I was thinking about that. I know there's people in our community that come from builder backgrounds and they're like, this is easy. Now I know how to buy them better.
But I have to say the houses, you don't have uncertainty about the land. Like,
that's right.
You know, they're going to be sell. It just a matter of time and how much you want to have the margin to be. So it's that's more, it. You know, the feeling I'm going to sell in Q2. It's just like this month or that month, that kind of thing. And then I think without the coronavirus, I'm probably going to be dealing houses. My goal is to do like a quarterly, maybe one or two, because that way I get more money too. You know, my own money. I mean, you can fund funding, but funding is, again, there has a lot of limitations, maybe timing, maybe that time when you need money, there's nobody wants to do that. Right. So I think in, practically, I think, you know, house is a good product. It just right now is so crazy with those uncertainties. So we want to pause a little bit. Otherwise, I will keep doing that.
Are you looking at changing things, just increasing volume?
Well, I think for me, I'm more looking for not for dollar amounts. I'm looking for some leading measurement. Kind of like I want to make sure how much time I spend each day just for two or three, you know, high payoff activities, and just to gonna be play, you know, add value to my business. I kind of focus on my operational streamline my operational process, more about branding. So I start making a lot of videos about myself because I think I'm getting sick and tired of the people, you know, say, oh, how can I trust you? Oh my gosh, you live here, I live here, how do you close? Like, they ask me a lot of questions, and then I know I did a lot of videos for, you know, like Google live video for a property, but they heard about my voice. So now I'm scared about showing my face at first, but now I'm like, what's the big deal? I'm going to show who I am. I'm the founder. So what? You know, that kind of thing. So I'm trying to basically go back and just making more of the branding effort and then streamline my operational process. And for the goal, I think I just like each year, if I can increase 20 to 30% about compared to my previous years, I'm pretty happy about it.
That's great.
I don't have an aggressive goal, you know. I want to be happily earn money versus because you can always earn money, but the time is gone, right? So I want to enjoy my my time. I play, you know, my every day when I get up, I spend 2 hours outside in my garden. I just play with my flower, my vegetables. I don't want to go back to my office to working till almost like Eastern time, maybe 10:30 or 11. I start working until 4. I end up my working. I turn off my cell phone.
That's great.
This is Joe Martin.
I love it. That's really good. I mean, you know, it's like picking what's important to you.
I'm really wealthy and angry.
And he loves it that way. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, the thing is, I think on year one, I work so hard. I just feel like I work from get up like almost 6 o'clock in the morning, work like 5 p.m. And then whenever people call me, I answer the phone, even in the dinner time. And then, but I feel that's not sustainable. I mean, for new member, maybe they should do it. But like for a lot of people like me, stay in the business for a while, you kind of know, you know, what gonna expect it. And you want to manage your life and make sure, you know, your life is healthy, you mentally healthy, because every day there has a lot of bad things happen.
Can you do one or two deals a month really comfortably?
I do more than that. So far I did like a 70, 74, 75 deals this year. So it's a crazy, like,
that's a lot.
It's a 10 a month.
From April. Yeah.
So you can plan your garden and do 80 deals, 10 deals a month.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying you have to really focus on the 2 to 3 more highly paid off activities. So I would make a list. So just say you're gonna get these 3 things done. You can play how long you want. But these things you're gonna done. Otherwise, don't play. So I have to force myself, to treat my comfort time to just get those hardcore things done. And then that's why operational is really fast. I think it's much better than years ago. And then I get a lot of consistent feedback from my seller and buyer saying, oh, your process is really smooth and simple. We like it. That kind of thing. So yeah, pretty fast.
So you can accomplish this through branding and operations efficiency.
Here's what I heard. Base normal operation is like this. Wake up, get some tea, go to the garden
yeah.
for 2 hours. Work from 11 to 4-ish. And in that time, and I'm sure she has her weekends and her fun with her family, she does, let's say 10 deals a month. We're going to say you're doing between, I don't know, $5,000 and $10,000 a deal. So you're easily making, you know, like $100,000 a month at that nice pace.
I think it varies on the deal size, but I think with the number of the deals, and then I think overall by the end of the year, you will see there has a little bit increase compared to last year, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. So a lot of my deals, again, is a term deal. So I don't really know how to calculate that. So because I do offer a lot of financing. I know it's kind of like, I know, Steve, you don't like it, but in a way, I kind of feel like I give them a choice. I used to do a much longer one. Now I do shorter one. I feel like I want
to. Cool.
Now I understand. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great model mm-hmm. on terms. And if you have a system in place to manage all that, I think that's fantastic.
Exactly.
If there's a default, happens to be a default, you put it back into a system somewhere, it goes back out there, you resell it and go through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the thing, key thing is, I think I think if my suggestion for, you know, other members is just like, if you okay with a mentality to match dealing with a lot of people has a lot of problem, the buyers for these kind of things, you're going to deal with a lot of those kind of a thing, make you feel unhappy. If you have that mentality, just do it. If you don't, do cash. Cash That's is right. so easy. Yeah.
They get hung up on, okay, do I have, you know, certain states have certain extra rules when you're doing owner financing and recording or not recording and then taking back the property. And that's a really good point to make. If you're really new and starting out on this, just do cash. And you could even put in your name as you're starting, make it super easy.
Do you have some, you obviously have somebody who's answering the phone and dealing with defaulted property and then.
No, I should, yeah. Yeah, I should hire someone. I've been lazy to thinking about this, you know, have someone to build that system. I mean, I build my other system for almost like customer service, but not for these kind of things. So I'm going to handle myself. This is might be trigger me to think about someone should, I should hire someone. I've been lazy for thinking about this.
Well, that's how easy it is for you. It's a flip of a switch if you want to double your stuff right now, if you want to. So that's nice.
I think eventually we should hire someone more. You know, but it's just like I've been lazy to thinking about how to train them because I did that. I failed a couple of times. I give up. I feel like if you hire someone trying to sustainable, they get that skill set. If they get that skill set, probably they will not satisfy with how much you pay them unless you pay a lot more. And then you will be not satisfying about how much you pay them. Mm-hmm. and then you have to really think about, but I know some people, they do that. I think that's a good mentality. I should start rethinking that. Yeah.
Good. You know what I was saying? The number one, looking back on all the positions and different things that we have, the number one person that if I were in your shoes right now that I would hire is what they do one job, and that mm-hmm. is follow these transactions through escrow. That's it.
On both sides.
On the buy side and the sell side. Like me doing the mail, you know, me doing this, me doing that, that's fine. But for me, the most time, because I've really jumped back in like in a big way in our land business and other things, and freed Stephen up to go do some other things. That has been, I've finally found
I agree with that.
Like the person that I don't, this person is, I thought I was like really attention to detail. She takes it a notch above what I do. And I'm like, I don't have to think about it.
I remember the first employee I ever had, it was just life changing.
Yeah.
And she was awful when I look back on it, just awful to work with and just backfired. Aww. But for a few months, it just, all the stuff that I really didn't want to do freed me up to do what I should be doing.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, any last parting words or anything you want to share with everyone watching and listening?
I think I can share with some maybe newly joined member, like really new member. I think they should just like, you know, take actions. There is no such moment called perfect moment. So once you already complete some of the program, you know, all chapters, and just move on and then let the, you know, take actions to closing the knowing and doing gap. And I think that's the first thing for newbie person. And then the second thing I think that really works is for everyone. I think it's just manage people's expectation. So it's all back to the communication. I think for buyer and seller, you're gonna really, communicate them very well about the processes and then the date, what they're going to get, you know, your policy, that kind of thing. So, and you follow through. That managing expectation works really, really, really well. Even the refund, you know, part. So you have your policy. So that way I don't get a lot of a dispute, that kind of thing.
Great advice.
That's good.
You gave me ideas for next week's podcast.
I feel like managing expectations actually is just like fit for almost every situation. This was years ago, when I did my market research in the market research the department. So one of the senior peer, he said, "Well, you're gonna manage the expectations for your internal clients and then that kind of thing." And then I just feel like, whoa, that is something, is my golden nugget. And then I take that for even for today. That's probably happened 7 years ago. I heard about his comment. It's because once you leave people in the dark, they don't know what to expect. And then everything gonna be fall down. Cause we're talking about operational excellence, right? If you don't let them know, and they start guessing, they start saying, oh, she is, I don't know who she is. She might be, I don't know, some bad negative thoughts started. And you don't let them to thinking. You start give them all the, you know, communications message, managing when to receive what, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Beijing. Happy you are here with me today. Member extraordinaire. Yeah. And, gosh, we're so happy to have you. And I'm sorry we're not seeing you this October. We've seen October you the last couple years in a row. So in case you didn't know, I moved it to right now, beginning of March, like the first weekend of March is when we're probably gonna have our live get together, you know, if all goes well. That's the plan. So we will keep you posted because I'd love to
hang out with you. Live event, I think. And just so bad this year, we're not able to refresh our mind, meet with the everyone there. I think March, if everything goes well, I will go. Good. Otherwise, good. Yeah.
I'm counting on you, Bay.
Yeah, I'm counting on everyone controlled.
That's right, exactly.
I do have a question for you.
Sure.
So you are, I just feel like you guys are amazing. You did a lot of these property buy and sell and also managing the whole group and, you know, all kinds of things. How do you manage those negative moments? Like when something, you know, unexpected happened, negative surprise, how do you adjust yourself? I always struggling sometimes for that.
You wanna go first?
I can answer.
Okay, you go.
Jill and I, and I'm patting both of us on the back, have different ways of doing things, but we have the same goal. We have the same long-term goal. So I never question, I often to myself, never out loud, question how she's dealing with something, but I never question why in the outcome. And I never have since the day I met her. And so I think the same mm-hmm. way here. But that doesn't say we don't have conflict with people and conflict with each other. And what we have learned to do throughout the years, especially the Land Academy years, because there's so much additional stuff to do, is to have confrontation very quickly, make each other's point, whatever. Nobody's there to win any argument. We just try to get there to get to that, get out of it and get whatever we need to do to get done. Mm-hmm. And we've perfected that. It's down to like maybe 5 minutes.
Well, I don't know if Bay was asking that or asking about just like surprises in our business.
Yeah, so, from other party to you, yeah. to both of you. We assume you guys are all aligned.
We know. So here's what we did. Because we were going to kill each other. But I mean, there's times you can't have two CEOs. He's famous for saying that, and he's 100% right.
There's no such thing as co-CEOs.
You can't do it. So we have put ourselves in different positions, and then we each take charge, and I stay out of his stuff, and whatever on his side of the sheet, I'm not sure how you handle things. I know what I do, Bay. Like, something falls apart tomorrow, a big deal, a closing, there's some mess or something. I rally my team and we divide up who's best at what and get it done. And if it's all on me, true. Mm-hmm. If it's something that only I can handle, I love this so much. I have no trouble saying I can't go. I've said that we're leaving our trip a day later. Something's going to change. I got to solve this problem, put out this fire. I just do it and I don't stop until it's done.
If it's transaction related, we are famous for giving people their money back. Saying, you know what? It didn't work out. That's fine. Whether they're a Land Academy member or, you know, that solves a ton of problems for us. Tons and tons of problems. You know, I don't know. We've done a lot. We haven't done any recently, but if somebody's got an issue with the land purchase or whatever,
I haven't done it in a while. Like, I can't remember the last time I've had to do one. But then on the other hand, like, I make sure I'm not that guy. Like, it happens, you know, especially the number of deals that we're doing. Somebody's going to pull a fast one on us. And I could be that guy. I could say we have a contract. I could say all these things and fight them and win. But you know what? It's not worth it to me.
Exactly,
so that's my other thing is I have, and it used to be hard in the beginning because I'm mm-hmm. like, it made me mad when people are pulling fast ones on me. I'm like, this is not the right, this is like stealing or lying. I'm like, why would you do that? But then I realized I found it easier on myself just to go, you know what? That's on them. And now it's even easier. I'm like, okay, well, I won't do a deal with that person again, or I won't do X again. Like, and just my sanity is worth more. And I know you are that way too. You know,
well, I need to take that. I used to like fight with them for everything. I said, oh, per this, per that. And sometimes the people just like, oh, I'm going to say this to you and that to you. I just feel like, okay, you're not worth my time. Okay, bye. Here's the thing. And then I did reason two. I'm like, and then I delete them from my buyers list and they're gone. I'm like, I'm not going to deal with any business with people like this. So I kind of feel like, though, you know, but I mentally feel like it's worth it almost like, yeah.
You know, on my side, we chose these positions that we're in. We didn't like give them to each other. On my side, I deal with the Land Academy customers, land investor people, land tank, all of that, the tech part of it. And so after 5 years of doing this, I can tell what's going to happen with a handful of members. At any given time, we have maybe two or five people in our world, in our environment, that are either members or not members, that I can tell you what's going to happen 4 months from now if we let this go on. So I very politely, before ever confrontation ever starts, let them just ask them to leave.
And or that, just dip it in the bud, just be honest. Okay, we're going down the wrong path here.
It works out really well.
Once you do that, where we're going down the wrong path here, is that really where we're trying to go? Usually people are going to go, oh, that's not what I meant. Great, glad we're on the same page.
I mean, I think I would call that managing expectations. That's exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
This behavior, it's always with customer service for us. But there's always one or two people in our group that take up 40 or 50% of the time of the customer service. And it's not that they really need, it's not that they like need more information. That's just their personal. That's her personality. And so we don't any longer have to deal with that at all. No, am I getting yeah. She asked me a question.
No, it's a good question.
Am I too heated up about it? I'd really like to know.
No, I'm just, that's all good.
She's kicking me under the desk.
I'm just saying, you're good.
That made me feel happy because recently I get a lot of violation zoning for these stupid, sorry for my words, these, term deal buyer, and they illegally park and they do all the buildings, and after dealing with all the, legal parts, I just feel like, it made me feel so upset, 2 weeks ago. I'm like, these money are not easy to earn.
Sometimes it's not. And I agree with you. And that might speed up your assistant right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking too.
And you, because you now, you can afford to have a buffer.
Yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you first start and you get Pat Live, you take enough of those phone calls, you're like, all right, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to hire somebody like Pat Live. And then they can weed through the phone calls and you're like, oh, it changes your life. So
you should split test it. We split test stuff. We're about to split test inbound phone calls through an outsource and an internal and see if the numbers are any different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And also the last question I have is, like, lately I realized, like, this year, at first I thought the sales going to be dropped really fast, but actually it goes up pretty strong, better than last year. What do you see the trend? You thinking is going to be keep that or going to be drop? What would be your
So I, like you, had the same, and I was pretty vocal about it, had the same opinion. I really thought it was going to send this into a tailspin, and it didn't. The exact opposite happened. It strengthened the market, both housing and for land. Mm-hmm. And it's because people are moving out of the cities, which I never anticipated, and the prices in the cities are going down or staying the same. So the people who have always wanted to live in the city, who don't really care about the COVID scenario, are moving in. So there's a lot of volatility in the market. A lot of people are buying and selling. And I see that happening until this forbearance foreclosure thing kicks in. And it won't happen overnight. They'll tell us the end of this forbearance is coming. We have 60 more days. We are going to start foreclosing. That's when we're going to really chill out on our acquisitions, wait to see what happens. Maybe I'll put a garden in the house. I don't know. It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. But we are going to see a dramatic decline in a dramatic increase in supply for specifically for houses. Mm-hmm. And the demand is not going to be able to keep up with it, which is going to make prices drop. And the last time this happened, that's when Jill and I did really well.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Mid 2021.
I'm excited.
What about for land? Do you think land will be the same thing or doesn't really relevant?
I think
our acquisitions are going to get better.
Land won't. This doesn't apply to land at all because there's no mm-hmm. debt.
I keep watching acquisitions get better and better. There's people, you know this too, Bay, I'm sure. I just told two guys today, I'm passing. I am walking away because our numbers, we're not on the same page number-wise. And I'm waiting. I'm watching my watch because they're going to come back. Because in 90 days, we're going to be closer on the same page. I'm sure of it. And so that's what I'm excited for. And I'm just picking the good ones.
Wow, looks like everyone's so busy for good thing. Yeah, it's just like a matter of time. Do we have time to manage? I think managing our time is so important now.
That's it. Just, and I love your whole philosophy too, because I believe in that too. Enjoy what you're doing. If this makes you miserable or there's something you hate about it, it's. I don't think you can sustain it. At least not and not have a happy. Have relationships outside of work because you're not going to be a fun person. So
you have to make yourself happy, and then not always you have to deposit something in yourself mentally, right? And you have more energy and creativity gonna came up, and then you start doing your little thing, like really productive. That's what I do.
Exactly. It's funny about the garden. I own one live plant.
What?
My next door neighbor on my birthday this year in July.
Oh my gosh. I don't believe you.
I said, I'm like, Renee, she has a beautiful garden. I'm like, how do you do that? And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, Renee, I can't do anything. So she gave me this plant in this little pot. And it's a little thing, just give it like 2 teaspoons of water, like every 5 days. And I do, and I have a little plastic teaspoon in there to keep me to remember just how much, and it's doing okay. So no way we're going to have a garden anytime soon. But if we do,
that's good. We'll specific think of advice, you. Though.
Yeah. Garden.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, what I do is funny is I used to be really, really messy. really reminds me when I was in my 20s and that kind of thing. And then, but when I come and work at home full time, guess what I change? I make my desk. There's no paper. Yeah. Like everything is all like a clean. These are paper, but the difference.
We're that way. Desk. Both of us.
So, anyways, I feel like, hey, I feel like I clean my heart. I can do things really productive. And then I start organizing my kitchen, make everything. It's like almost like workouts and that kind of thing. That's my routine in the morning time. After I did these kind of routine, I feel like I'm full of energy to kind of do my business, real business.
Exactly. That's perfect.
Yeah, it was fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bay. And thank you everyone for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content that you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes like this one helps you to support, helps us to support the channel's algorithm and gauge your interest in future shows. It's all about the data.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.